checking what's going on with the future of EMS technology, plus a look on EMS and social media leadership, and what the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation is up to. If that's what you're looking for, you found it right here on this week's episode of the MedicCast.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters!
This is the MedicCast, a podcast for EMS providers by EMS providers, featuring EMS news, products, tips, tricks, and commentary. So grab your gear and glove up. Here's today's show with the PodMedic, Jamie Davis.
Well, good day and welcome to this week's episode of the MedicCast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the PodMedic, and this is a great opportunity for me to say, hey, welcome to the show. This week, we've got a great episode for you with some more excellent content I recorded at EMS Today 2016 in Baltimore, where I was covering the show from the Physiocontrol booth. I chatted there with Cam Pollock from Physiocontrol about some big news they announced right prior to the event. Plus, I have two segments from Carissa O'Brien on two projects she's involved with. So check out those things later on in this episode, after this introduction. Before we get to all that, though, I do want to make sure you do a couple of things. You always need to make sure you're checking out the links and additional information you'll find over at the MedicCast blog at MedicCast.com/blog. There's a show notes link at the top of the page. With that link, you can go right to the most recent episode of the show or scroll down and find previous episodes. There's also a search box in the upper right-hand corner if you're looking for something in particular, but you want to take some time and follow up on all the links that I put in the show notes for you to help you understand how each episode applies to your own EMS practice and protocols. If you've read that and you still want to get back in touch with me, that's great. Just go ahead and shoot me an email to podmedic@mac.com. Shoot me those emails with your questions, your comments, your suggestions, whatever the case may be, I want to hear from you. I will get back to you. I work hard to respond back to all the emails that come in, so take an opportunity, shoot me an email, and let's have a chat. That's it for our contact information. We'll have some more later on in this episode, but let's go ahead and get on into the rest of the show. It's coming right up. First up in the show is a look at an interview I had with Cam Pollock from Physiocontrol about the news on their acquisition by Stryker and what it means to their brand and their products. Check it out. Hi, Jamie Davis, the PodMedic here in the Physiocontrol booth at EMS Today 2016. And, you know, my conference wouldn't be complete. I say this every time I get to talk to Cam Pollock, but it's true. Conference wouldn't be complete if we didn't get a chance to kind of talk to you and get a check on the pulse of what's going on in the EMS industry and specifically with Physiocontrol. And so it's great to have you on the show, Cam.
Thanks. It's great to be here as always, Jamie.
So there's some pretty big news in the wind, just a couple of weeks old. Do you want to tell us about what's going on with Stryker?
Sure. I think you probably have your head in the sand for the last week. If you hadn't already heard the news that we've announced that Stryker is going to be acquiring Physiocontrol. And the deal won't be done until April, so sometime in April. So it's not official yet, but we're excited about it. It's big news. You got two giants here. I mean, their booth is right across from ours. It's about the same size. So two giants in EMS getting together. And we knew, I think we talked years ago when we were acquired by Bain. And Bain Capital's been our parent for the last 4 years. And they've been a great parent. And they've allowed us to make some investments. We've put more into product development in the last 4 years than we ever have in the history of the company. But they told us from the beginning it's about a five-year run, typically, for them. And it's coming up on 5 years. So we knew something was going to happen. And there's a lot of different ways it could go. But we think when you can partner with a company, an industry leader like Stryker, that's a really good home. That's a really good parent company. And if you don't know much about them, they're very well run. They're very well managed. They're an American company based in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And what we like the best about them is that they know something about our space. I mean, they're in our business. They're a leader in EMS. Obviously, a lot of folks out there are probably familiar with their cots and their power lifts and things like that. So they understand that market. They know capital equipment. They know our customers. And they're in the hospital as well. They're a leader in hospital beds and cooling systems. So that's a bit of a change for us. We've gone through some ownership in the past that doesn't know as much about capital equipment in our market.
Right.
So we're excited about that. And also for our team, if you look at their website, Stryker's won just about every award you can imagine for being one of the best companies to work for. I think we're number 19 on Fortune's list last year for best companies to work for in America. So that bodes well. And they're telling us all the right things. They want our leadership team. They want to run us fairly independently, and they like the Physio brand, and they want us for our growth. So I think that this is going to be a really solid long-term home for Physio Control.
And it's fantastic. That's what I was thinking too, is when their presence in the hospital space, their existence and strong leadership role mm-hmm. in the EMS space, it just seems to match perfectly with what Physio Control is all about and
yeah.
what you all do.
Yeah, I mean, people have already been sending us messages. I know you've got them too, asking us if we're going to make our LifePak 15s yellow and black. And
yeah.
We don't have any plans for that, I will say. But I think once we get a chance, and we're still two separate companies, so we're not talking about any of that yet. But once we can start the integration this May and onward this summer, I think we'll find all kinds of places where we match up very well.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing where things are in the coming year and how that all shakes out.
Yep.
In the meantime, though, Physio's got some exciting stuff going on over the last year that we've been touching on back and forth in the times we've chatted. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you have going on?
Yeah, just a quick rundown. I mentioned already that we were spending more on new product development than we ever have, and we've also been busy in the acquisition space. And I'll say that all of the things that we're doing as a company, the investments we're making, they're all leading to one thing, one goal. And we've talked about it before. We have this unifying strategy that goes through everything we're doing at Physio Control about really helping our customers build really strong and effective systems of care. And so it's not about any one product or data system. It's all those things together, making a difference in communities, impacting patient care, improving survival rates. And when you put all those things together, the tools and the data capabilities together, you can make a really effective system. And I hope, we've said this message so many times, and a lot of other folks in the industry are talking about it, so is American Heart, some of our competitors. It's because it works. You go read Mickey Eisenberg's book, Resuscitate.
Yes.
And that's what he talks about. And people ask the Seattle Medic One, the successful system for years and years, and people ask him, what's the magic bullet? Well, the magic bullet is that there is no magic bullet. The magic bullet is it takes a system, and there are probably 10 or 15 different things that you should be doing in your system, all the way from having strong medical direction and measuring everything you're doing to having solid AED programs and a good training program. And there's a whole group of those things that go together. So in the last year, since we talked at this show last, we got together with Aircraft Medical.
Right.
We made an announcement last summer. We have the McGrath-Mack EMS mm-hmm. Video laryngoscope, mm-hmm. which is a great little product.
It is fantastic.
It feels great
as
in your
hand. Paramedic. It's got the design features that just make it a joy to just hold and operate.
Yep.
It's easy to use. I was actually showing my cameraman. I said, "You can do this too," and he intubated.
Yeah.
He was able to see exactly how it worked on the first try.
Yep.
It's really a fantastic device.
It's really easy to use. It's really rugged. It's cost effective. And as I talked about, it's a system, and now all of a sudden, we're branching into airway management and things like that. Now, it's a little bit ironic that Aircraft has been bought by Covidien since we started this partnership, and Covidien's owned by Medtronic.
Okay. That's
so
interesting.
So we're partnered with Medtronic now on a video laryngoscope, so the irony is there. So that's actually been very successful for us. It's exceeded our expectations in terms of how it's been adopted in the marketplace quicker than we expected. So that's been good. We've been making a lot of good progress on our data solutions. We made the acquisition of Sanzio almost 2 years ago now, or just about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And our Health EMS product for EPCR has been actually doing better than expected as well, and LifeNet, so the data solutions is progressing well. That's part of that system I talked about. We made an acquisition this last fall. You and I talked about it out of the EMS world. About having a really innovative and cost-effective AED as part of the portfolio. And we have AEDs as well, but this one, because of its price point, gives us access to some areas that we really haven't been. And we really like that company. We think it's a great product. We like their technology mm-hmm. and their management team, and we're still working on integrating them into Physio Control. But it's going to be a good long-term acquisition for us, I think, and we're seeing tremendous growth in kind of the low end of the AED market.
Yeah, and also another link into the European market as well.
Absolutely.
And that's interesting because, systems don't just happen here in the States. They happen worldwide.
Yep. Well, and for us, it gives us some manufacturing capability for defibrillators outside the United States, which is something we were interested in. It gives us, you know, a little more flexibility in where we do our manufacturing. And they're actually a part of the company that is stronger outside the U.S. than inside the U.S. with the HeartSign brand. So that actually is good for us. It provides some diversification. But it's a great little product, and it does really well. It's got a really, really nice feature set, and our customers that have purchased that product are really happy with it. So you put all those things together, and they're all pointing in one direction. And it's not these are not random events. We do have a direction that we're headed, mm-hmm. and a vision of what the world looks like 5 or 10 years from now. And you pair those things that we've been doing along with the things I can't talk about. We're always working on our own product development, and there's a lot going on. We'll have plenty to talk about over the next several years here at these shows as we start bringing some of that new technology forward. But the Stryker news is certainly the biggest news. It's been a busy year. I don't think there's been a time when you've asked me what's new at Physio-Control that I haven't had something to talk about.
It seems like there's been so much going on, and then the Stryker announcement and all of that, and yet Physio is still maintaining their leadership in support of the EMS industry with things like your sponsorship and continued support of the EMS 10 program, mm-hmm. for the innovators. And I was really struck by the international nature of the people that won the award this year. We had somebody from Nigeria, we had somebody from Austria, somebody from Canada. Yep. I mean, really reaching around the world to different types of systems of care.
Yes.
From systems of care that are still in their infancy all the way to very mature and systems of care that are already set in their ways but are still making changes in the right direction.
Yeah, it's amazing how far that program has come over the last 8 years. It's mm-hmm. been 8 years we've been doing it. So there's 80 different teams and individuals who've been recognized. And we started it, I'll give credit to John Friedrich. You know John. This is his brainchild 8 years ago, and he sat down with AJ from GEMS and said, this is the idea. And it's grown. It's almost become like the Academy Awards of EMS. And in fact, you should talk to AJ. I think, maybe some PodMedic live streaming of the event next year is something we should think about.
Try to do that.
That's not a bad idea. I just thought of that. it's a great event. And, for us, there's so many people every year who are doing really innovative things in support of the EMS industry, mm-hmm. and we really wanted to honor that, and we're really proud of our ability to participate in that and to help grow it in partnership with GEMS over the last 8 years, and we intend to keep it going for a long time. And and GEMS has done a great job with their supplement and taking the winners, and you guys have been interviewing them, and so it's really promoting not just improvements but real innovations. Let's celebrate the people who are doing things differently in a way that is changing, mm-hmm. in a real positive way. We have some repeat winners now. Sean,
I know.
Sean Maxwell's
and
in the second time.
You got Richmond Ambulance Authority and MedStar, with Matt Savatsky and Rob Lawrence. They are competing to see if they can go for a fourth award. But that's because those companies are really leading the way with the things they're doing and innovating in their systems of care.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that they're going to continue to innovate, so it's very possible that they're going to be back.
Yep. They're like the Tom Hanks of the industry, multiple winners.
Excellent. Well, Cam, it's great to talk to you as always. Yep. We'll definitely catch up with you at the next event.
Absolutely.
And I just want to congratulate Physio-Control again on the Stryker announcement and the just positive move and forward for everything.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Jamie.
Thank you. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from EMS Today 2016 here in the Physio-Control booth. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. Remember, if you want to see more segments with some of the people we've been interviewing here, including our EMS 10 innovators, you want to check out more of the segments on the channel you're watching right now. Next up are two back-to-back segments with Carissa O'Brien that look at social media leadership and what systems can do to better utilize their social tools for the community. Then she talks about the initiatives of the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation and their special projects to build awareness about this public health problem of sudden cardiac arrest. So here are those two segments with Carissa. Hi, Jamie Davis, the PodMedic here in the Physio Control booth at EMS Today 2016. It's great to be here with my good friend, Carissa Karamanis O'Brien. And Carissa, we talked a lot about social media over the last, 8 years we've known each other or more?
Around there.
Something like that. And you're always my go-to person when talking about what people need to be thinking about when they start engaging in social media, whether as an organization or even as an individual who is also a healthcare professional. Mm-hmm. There's some things they need to keep in mind to be professional while they post.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that. Thank you. So it's funny, I'm presenting on this topic tomorrow morning at the conference, and this sort of started with the conversation that we had along with Ray Barashansky at the last EMS conference. And we talked a little bit about the fact that, we can't as leaders in EMS expect our people to just know this stuff, and there's been a little bit of a false expectation, particularly with, the younger generations, that, well, they know this social stuff, so we don't have to worry about that.
They might use it, but that doesn't mean they know how to use it responsibly.
Exactly. And we need to put that very important filter on that. I think there are a lot of folks that are working really hard to raise the bar on the professionalism in this industry. And social media is a big part of that. Folks get, they're using these channels on their own. But they need guidance, and a social media policy is only the first step in that. And it's really performing a disservice if that policy is only restrictive in nature and is a list of things that they can't do. We need to take that next step and really give folks, guidance and understanding of how they can be professional and how they can safely operate on these channels.
That Ray Barashansky episode, I remember that being the one where we learned that he had no clue what Periscope was.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
But that underlines the fact that there are always new things on the horizon.
Yeah.
And you need to, when you make a guideline or a policy like that, it needs to be broad enough to be able to be included no matter what the platform or channel might be.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, there are a lot of policies that are exhaustive and then sit on a shelf. And a social media policy is certainly not one that should ever fall in that category. It needs to be a living, breathing organism. It needs to be, reviewed on a regular basis and updated because it is such a constantly evolving medium. And we need to make sure that those policies reflect that appropriately. A lot about what we're going to talk about tomorrow, and I'm presenting along with Steve Wirth, who's a brilliant attorney for EMS and a great consultant for this space. He and his firm talk a lot about social media from a legal perspective, I think he brings a great perspective to that. I wanted to pair with Steve to really talk through this because it is certainly a legal issue, and there's a lot of risk management involved in taking a smart approach to social media. But I wanted to make sure that we paired that with the very human side of social media in making sure that folks truly do understand the realities of what people are doing when they take to these channels and what they're hoping that channel will serve for them. And making sure that we're providing that guidance. So it's safe from a legal perspective, but it's also practical in how people will actually use these channels. I think that was the first time we talked about this concept of digital citizenship, right? And, we need to be cultivating responsible digital citizens. That does not come naturally. Like anything else, we train for CPR, we train for capnography, we need to train for social media. It needs to be an education that folks understand what are the safe rules of the road and how do I act as a professional on these channels and still allow them to be what I want them to be.
It's interesting. I think that we have come a long way because when you and I first started talking about this, a lot of agencies and organizations in healthcare were just no.
Yeah.
It was not you can use social media if you do it responsibly. Mm-hmm. It was no social media at all, period. And, you know, it's interesting to see how in just a relatively short period of time mm-hmm. that has come around to these organizations themselves now adopting and using social media actively themselves
yep.
and encouraging, in some cases, mm-hmm. their employees, their people on the street to promote good health policy and yep. good health activities and things yep. like that.
Yeah, and I think that progress is fantastic, and I'm such an advocate for this, so I'm glad to see it. With that step, though, now that you're encouraging some people to engage, you know, come some other pieces of risk. So we need to be really careful about, okay, so if you're now encouraging folks to engage on behalf of your organization, on behalf of your EMS system or your department, what should that look like? And do they understand, you know, simple things like disclosure policies and things like that? Do they know when they need to be really clear about disclosing that they're an employee of your right. EMS system? They aren't difficult things to grasp, but they need to be addressed. They're not going to simply know these things. So it's incumbent upon our leaders to take those steps to make sure that you know the workforce is trained and has that understanding.
So hopefully people are going to get a full package of this in the presentation tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But maybe an organization or somebody watching this wants to find a way to get a more in-depth look at what they can do in their organization. Where can people mm-hmm. find you mm-hmm. to maybe bring you in to help them, you know, put this type of policy intelligently in place?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can certainly reach me. I'm everywhere in social media as Carissa O. You can find me on Twitter and elsewhere. You can email me, carissao@gmail.com. Certainly we'll be, you know, sharing some of the results of the presentation online, so I'll get that to you as well. And I know that, you know, Steve and his firm also have some materials that they offer to systems as well for kind of guiding them through that. So, you know, both of us are available to consult and help people along. This is something for me that's a real, you know, kind of personal mission. You know, I really want to see EMS come along with social media in a smart and responsible way and have that be a big piece of how we, you know, continue to raise the bar on the level of professionalism in EMS.
Great. Well, Carissa, thanks for coming on the show again.
Thank you.
And we'll have you back again soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So keep in touch and let me know what's going on.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from EMS Today 2016. We are here in the Physio Control booth, and we want to thank them for making this space available and supporting us coming to this and a lot of conferences we go to so that we can bring a flavor of what's going on here to you, even if you don't make it to the conference yourself. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. We'll be back with more soon. In the meantime, make sure you check back for all the segments from this conference on the channel you're watching right now. Hi, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic here in the Physio Control booth at EMS Today 2016. I'm here with my good friend, Carissa Karamanis O'Brien. And Carissa, you know, one of the things you do is help organizations out there have a social media presence and help them get the word out about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so tell me a little bit about what's going on with the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation, because you're very active with them mm-hmm. and they've got some initiatives going on. I love seeing the stuff that come down on their yeah. Facebook page and things, just interesting stories that they mm-hmm. talk about all the time.
I'm glad to hear you say that. So yeah, social media has been a big part of how we share our message. You know, the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation is all about raising awareness around SCA and its impact on our community. And so we have a lot of programs in place around educating the public. And so social media has been a big part of how we do that. We've found that it's been incredibly helpful to really, you know, using that network effect to expand the reach of that message and our mission. So social media, you know, certainly our Twitter as well as Facebook page have grown tremendously over the last year. We're seeing a lot more engagement, and we're getting a lot of folks from the community as well, kind of getting involved in sharing content. And so we got a lot of user-generated stuff that's coming through as well, which is great. And yeah, we really try to make sure that we've got a good mix of content that we share there, a lot of things around saves.
I love the stories of people and the saves. And, you know, the one that recently I saw come across about the student who was saved at the school, and then they had an event for her when she came back. And
I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and in the one constant in all those years is that there is nothing that has more of an impact on driving that message home than a personal story of survival. When people see, and unfortunately it works on the flip side too, is hearing a story of a loss and how devastating that can be. And, you know, how it may or may not have been preventable also has that same impact. But those very personal stories of brushes with SCA are you know, our biggest tool, I think, our most powerful tool in getting folks to really understand what SCA is all about and how it affects not only those that suffer it, but their family members and the members of the community that sort of suffer that same, you know, whether it's a loss or just the, you know, the emotional impact of going through an event and coming out the other side. So we do save, you know, share a lot of save stories. We do report when there are losses in the community as well. And we, you know, hope that some of it serves as inspiration for people to get out there and, you know, get CPR trained and understand where AEDs may belong in their community and where they may already be, where they should be, and advocating in their own local areas for CPR and AED use.
And that's what it's all about, is really local advocacy. Yeah. You know, is getting active in your community and saying, hey, there should be an AED here, or where is there a list of the AEDs in my community so that I know where to access them? And those are things that SCAF does a great job of promoting for the individuals, really empowering people to do that, which I think is important.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. We want to give, you know, we want to empower the ordinary person, you know, in an extraordinary moment.
Yeah.
And so, a lot of people come to us after they've had a brush or after they've discovered the foundation, and they say, you know, gee, I had no idea to even think about whether there was an AED in my gym. You know, and now, you know, we've kind of put that, you know, planted that in their head a little bit. It's like, you know, those are the questions you should be asking.
Yeah.
You know, what about, you know, the huge high-rise building that you work in? You know, do they have AEDs? Because, you know, workplace events are also prevalent. So, you know, just starting to ask those questions and understand better, you know, how, what role that plays in your own community is certainly, I think, an important step in raising that awareness.
So if someone wants to get active and become more involved with this type of initiative and wants to become part of the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation in some way, either through donation or through active membership or something, is there a way they can do that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we encourage donations. They're very helpful. You know, we are a nonprofit, and you know, we depend upon the support of the community and our you know, our handful of sponsors to really make that work possible. You can donate to the foundation on our website, sca-aware.org. But there are many, many other ways that you can get involved. So we have a very active survivor network. There are about more than 1,800 members of the survivor network. It's a very engaged community of survivors and their families. And that's, you know, serves as a, you know, support group. It serves as just a forum for conversation and understanding sort of the you know, the things that a lot of folks go through after an event, and whether it's their, you know, their care and needs after they suffer an SCA, or some of the emotional impact that it has. You know, a lot of folks have survivor guilt, or, you know, other things that they suffer through that that just having a peer community really helps them through that. We also work with a lot of survivors in, you know, giving them opportunities to tell their story. So whether it's, you know, directly through us and our various channels, or through, you know, other opportunities at events and things like that across the country. We also work with the media quite a bit as well. So we are, you know, one of the primary sources for the media when it comes to sudden cardiac arrest and understanding, you know, the issues. So we also connect the media with survivors and family members when they need to, you know, have that personal side of the story as well.
Excellent. Well, we'll have people look that up. I'll have links to that in the show notes so people can find the website and find all these resources and materials that they can become more active in their communities and with the foundation as well.
Yeah, we encourage people to, you know, like us on Facebook. You'll find us at the Sudden Cardiac Arrest Foundation. You can follow us on Twitter at You Can Save a Life. We're also You Can Save a Life on Instagram and other channels. So lots of ways to stay connected and get engaged with our community.
Fantastic. Well, Carissa, thanks for coming on and talking about this.
Thank you.
And thanks for helping to support such an important aspect of healthcare in this foundation.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here from the Physio Control booth at EMS Today 2016. Remember, all of the segments we've recorded here with all of our thought leaders, our EMS professionals, and our EMS 10 innovators are available on this channel. So check back for more segments like this one soon. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. I want to thank all of you for checking out the show this week and, of course, remind you to follow up on all of the information you get in this week's show over at the MedicCast blog. That's at medicast.com/blog. Over there, you'll find a show notes link at the top of the page. Go ahead and take a moment and follow up on all of the information and links to news items and more you find there each week. You can also sign up for our email newsletter that'll bring you those links directly into your email inbox each week if you want. There's a form on the right-hand side of the page. Just go ahead and fill that out, and you can get the MedicCast newsletter for yourself. I also welcome your comments and suggestions by email. So if you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email to podmedic@mac.com. Send in your ideas for news links, ideas for future show topics or interviews, whatever comments you might have. I really do look forward to hearing from you, and I'll make sure I get back to you. I work hard to respond back to every email that comes in, so please keep those emails coming. If you want to catch up with me on social media and some of the pages and sites out there, you can find me at most places under the handle Podmedic. So you can catch me over at Twitter at twitter.com/podmedic or Facebook at facebook.com/podmedic. Friend or follow me over there. Also, don't forget to check out our MedicCast Facebook page. We now have over 5,000 followers, so head over to facebook.com/medicCast. Click the like button on the top of the page and join the community over there. That's going to wrap up this week's episode of the MedicCast. Please make sure you spread the word and share the MedicCast with your colleagues and students and friends in the EMS world. I'll be back here each week with new episodes, new interviews, news items, tips, and more every Monday morning to start off your EMS week. Tell somebody else about the MedicCast today. I'm Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic. It's time to close out the show. Don't forget to thank our sponsors. And remember, folks, Scene Safety, BSI.